Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. We have a lot of action both in Congress and on the campaign trail this week, so we're going to touch upon a number of points. Scott, good to have you here.
Great to be back, Loman.
We will begin the House Freedom Caucus, and you might want to give a brief explanation as to what that is, has a new leader. Tell us who it is and why a new leader.
The House Freedom Caucus is one of the caucuses in Congress that's organized around the ideas of conservatism and really building out sort of like the SEAL Team 6, the frontline fighters of the House Republican Conference for the conservative movement. It was originated, I think, in 2014. Jim Jordan was their first chairman, followed by Mark Meadows. You also had Andy Biggs, and most recently it's been Scott Perry leading that organization. But we got news this week. They obviously have two-year terms at the House Freedom Caucus, and Perry's term is up. So they elected a new member to be their chairman, Congressman Bob Good from my Commonwealth of Virginia, the 5th District. Bob Good joined Congress a couple of terms ago. He's in his second term right now. But he has proven to be a fearless leader, somebody that's willing to challenge the status quo. And I think he's an excellent choice for that organization as they really determine what their posture is going to be on some of these big policy fights in 2024, as well as building out an agenda for the election of conservatives.
Congress, of course, is trying to wrap up business here before the holidays. They did get a couple of items done there. Some things left over to next year, and they're saying farewell to a very prominent member.
The Senate passed their National Defense Authorization Act with a pretty overwhelming vote. There was a lot of controversy there related to the Fourth Amendment and whether or not Section 702, the FISA reauthorization. This is when the courts can issue a search warrant without constitutional due process of individual Americans if they're tied in some fashion to a likely terrorist or somebody that's underneath foreign surveillance. And so there's a lot of controversy around that. Ultimately, the bill was included in the National Defense Authorization Act, and that ended up clearing the Senate. And so you've got all this year-end stuff that's going on here in Washington, D.C. Usually we have that omnibus appropriations fight, but Speaker Johnson took that off the table for a December Christmas tree package, as we call it. And instead, we'll be handling that issue once again at the end of January and into the middle of February with the latter approach that they decided to take. But Kevin McCarthy announced a couple of weeks ago that he was going to wrap up his time at the end of 2023 serving in Congress and go on to the private sector. And so this week there was a sort of a big party for him. I'm sure you can imagine the types of people that showed up to that party, but I think most members of Congress were there. Some of the former speakers, like Paul Ryan, showed up in attendance. And ultimately, I think Kevin McCarthy had a grand old time with the grand old party, sort of giving him a send-off. So it was an interesting week in Washington. That brings us down for the beginning of January to a two-seat majority. And everybody knows Bill Johnson is planning to take the presidency of Youngstown State University. And when that happens, we'll be down to a one-seat majority. So if somebody gets sick or somebody passes away or just happens to miss votes due to a missed flight, we'll be in for an interesting day on Capitol Hill.
Well, it's never dull on Capitol Hill. It's also never dull out on the campaign trail, where the Republican National Committee, Scott, hosted or sponsored its fourth and final presidential debate. So now it's sort of open season when it comes to debates and forums, correct?
I think that they really had a challenge in getting the media attention into these GOP presidential debates, given the fact that the front runner skipped all of them. And President Trump, I think, looked at the upside of participating compared to the risk associated with it. And he figures he's the presumptive nominee. And so he, sort of gave the stiff arm to all those. However, what you're seeing right now is some of these networks like CNN and Fox and Fox Business and others, MSNBC, they're going to be holding candidate town halls. And we saw one this week with President Trump. We also saw one with Governor DeSantis, and we saw one with Vivek Ramaswamy. I think that it's a good opportunity for candidates to continue to get their message out there to voters, build a little bit of energy and excitement, around what's going on, certainly if they have a base to do that. And I think we'll continue to see some of that in the weeks heading into voting for the Iowa caucuses and then the first in the nation in New Hampshire.
And through all of this, not only is President Trump leading with well over half of the primary vote, but Scott, it appears that he's taking a powder to Joe Biden in the battleground states as well.
Yeah, you're right, Loman. And Morning Consult this week came out with new polling in seven big swing states, and it showed President Trump leading President Biden in all seven. In Arizona, Trump led Biden 46-42. In Georgia, Trump led Biden 49-43. In Michigan, he led 46-42. In Nevada, 47-44. In North Carolina, 49-40. In Pennsylvania, 46-44. And even in Wisconsin, it was 45-41. And the bottom line is here that when you add in third-party candidates, whether it's Kennedy or anybody else that could potentially be on the ballot in some of these states, it is a nightmare scenario for the man named Joseph R. Biden. And you've got Hunter Biden that refusing to sit for a deposition this week in Washington, D.C. You've got the drag of the Biden economy. We think that it's the Biden war on Christmas, given the fact that everything is more expensive and families are having to really tap into the credit card or pinch the budget in order to get Christmas gifts for their kids. Folks are struggling. Let's make no mistake about it. And I think if you are doing well, it's the time to be charitable. It's the time to give and help your fellow countrymen.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, tell us a little bit about the club.
Club for Growth is based out of Washington, D.C., has over 525,000 members from all 50 states. You can join for free by visiting clubforgrowth.org.
Thank you, Scott. We'll check in with you next week.
Well, thank you.